All right, the next item on the agenda is a presentation by Vice President Comptroller Walt Knorr on the financial report. And Walt, we always look forward to this part on our agenda.
Good morning, everybody. It's a good day to be indoors, even if it is for a financial report. First slide really just as I've done in the past, basically what's happened of note since our last gathering. We have confirmed that the $351 million, I call it the bridge appropriation for fiscal year 17, we can use that to pay for 2016 expenses, and we have confirmed that. We also, out of the monetary award assistance program, the $29 million that we expect from that for the FY17 appropriation, we will get that, and we will be applying that to the spring of 2016 open MAP obligation at the campuses. To date, we have billed the state on this $351 million. We have billed them $278 million to date, I fully expect, again, to basically receive all that money, the full $351 million, by December of 2016. We're going to go over and visit with the state controller next Thursday to just confirm, make sure everything is copacetic, you know, with the payments out of the Education Assistance Fund and the money's coming in, and basically to make sure the payments are coming out. Today you will be approving the academic academic professional contracts for 2016 2017. We did defer, you know, with great hopes for the salary program, so that reflects that in that document. We do have a plan in place for fair labor standards compliance. This is a big change in the federal law and in the regulations. There are probably 2,600 employees at the University of Illinois that will be affected by this, but we do have a plan in place. The effective date is December the 1st, and we'll be ready to go with that. Lastly, we basically polished off another round with the rating agencies in connection with the financing that we're going to sell next week, assuming the final approval today of the resolution for that financing. And pleased to report that both Moody's affirmed our AA3 rating, and Standard & Poor's affirmed our A+ rating for that transaction. I'm going to spend most of the rest of the presentation talking about how we did, you know, for 2016. And I would stress it's all on an unaudited basis, but I think we'll give you a peek at, you know, how we did. I have not had this up for several board meetings. I used to have it up regularly. This is basically looking back over the past 5 years and what the level of the receivable was from the state, how late they were in paying us. So the bars are by month, by fiscal year, and basically the dollar amount on the left side is basically how much was owed to us at any particular month and throughout the previous five fiscal years. And the line is basically the percentage of the appropriation that was outstanding, you know, for us. And then we got to 2016, and we basically have a flatliner for 2016 when we didn't get an appropriation until April, and we got the stopgap appropriation of $180 million in April, and that's why it jumps up, you know, it has that big jump there, and basically it was paid off essentially by the end of the year. So that's what's reflected on this graph. So it's just a kind of a comparison of the old way and the new situation. The next one is basically, you know, you're used to this graph. Again, now it's starting to become a little bit difficult because I'm showing 2016 and 2017. When we finished, you know, 2016, they owed us $49 million. They paid us that, 2015, they paid us that. You can see that for 2017 now, with a $351 million appropriation, again, we will be billing all of it. We have received $50 million so far on that appropriation, but it's, again, a comparison. And this is as of a specific date. This is as of August the 31st for each one of these years. This is the appropriation, and it's the billings and the collections that are associated with each one of those appropriations. this is it really needs no, you know, this is basically effect of the state support on support for the students at the University of Illinois. If you go back to 2002, and again, this is in constant dollars, and basically also keep in mind that, that we probably over this time period increased the enrollment at the university to over 10,000 over this period of time. But in 2002, we were almost at $16,000 of support per student, and now we're down to about $2,000 of support with what happened in 2016 with the $180 million appropriation. The next thing, these are the final numbers for 16 for the payments on behalf. Again, this is the pension and health care benefits that the state pays for. And basically, we have in our financials, and these are appear to be the actual final numbers for 16, $1,361 million in payments on behalf for the University of Illinois. If you take a look at the breakdown very quickly, the dark blue at the top, the comparison, the health care benefits jumped from $491 million to $525 million in health care benefits being paid by the state for university employees. That's a 7% jump in that. And if you think about the CPI in the Midwest, it's probably three times the consumer price index, that increase in those costs. It's just reflective of the cost of health care that's going on. The big one is essentially the pension situation. That one increased 22.6% in total pension costs between 2015 and 2016. The normal cost basically is going down, and that's the effect of Tier 2 coming on as the new employees. But the part that's basically troublesome is the amortization of that old gigantic unfunded liability. That's what's costing that big hunk of cost to the state. And I think what's going on, it's of concern right now, is all the pension funds are taking a hard look, the state pension funds, at their investment rate. And most recently, the teachers' retirement system reduced their assumed rate of return in their actuarial assumptions from 7.5 down to 7. And that reduction cost, you know, threw off a $421 million additional cost to the state to fund the teachers' retirement system. So, and I can't speak for SERS, for State University Retirement System, but I'm sure they got to be looking at the same situation. If you take a look at I present this every year. Basically, this is actually last year's information. This is just for undergraduates at the campuses and how much they pay of this of tuition. Basically, from the previous year, it hasn't changed. The individual components haven't changed that much. At Urbana-Champaign, 51% are paying the full amount of tuition. 15% pay nothing. At Chicago, 35% are paying the full amount of tuition, 20% are paying nothing, and at Springfield, 25% are paying the full amount, and 24% are paying nothing. I would stress that this is essentially the result when we say what reflects is basically the effect of MAP, our supplementary Pell. It does not reflect loans. It's just basically it's grants that are basically affecting this calculation. Take a run real quickly through some of the components of the university, goes into the financials. One is the hospital under the fine direction of Dr. Ghosh and Mike Zenn, the CFO at the hospital. They were able to generate a $7.9 million operating income for the hospital for 2016. Again, though, the big concern is the cash collections, the receivables are growing, really concerned, backed up to the state payments, not only the direct state payments, but also the payments through the Medicaid or through the managed care entities that basically and basically the cash flow coming from the managed care entities that we are servicing through from the hospital. So the cash continues to be a major concern at the hospital. The medical service plan. This is the docs at the hospital. At the medical center. Again, about $20 million down. And I think when I put up the budgets here, these are the budgets we would have used had we put out a formal budget last year. But we again, this was ends up being an internal budgets that we used for these presentation. Again, down, I think some of the things that were unanticipated is they made some fairly significant contributions to the Cancer Center and the Center for Clinical and Transitional Sciences. Those are some major things that weren't contemplated they made some capital investments both at Peoria and Rockford. And the other thing is there's the squeeze on in managed care and basically the reimbursements for managed care, the cost versus the reimbursement. And I think that's also a big player here in the results for the medical service plan. If you look at auxiliaries, again, this is usually we pretty much try to stay break even on this. We're basically very much controlled by the Legislative Audit Commission by law to basically keep within a boundary with our performance on the auxiliaries. Again, this is everything from parking to housing to food service, all those kind of things and facilities. Probably the reason we have about an $8 million shortfall in 2016 is one of the things is the assembly hall being under construction. You know, we basically had some revenues lost, you know, with the assembly hall being under construction and see the effect there. There's also some other costs that basically is associated with the ambulatory pharmacy and basically the squeeze on there with costs at the ambulatory pharmacy that are included in here. Quickly moving on to, I have to do this every year at the request of the internal auditors to comply with a recommendation made many years ago. It's basically to put up one of our biggest cost elements at the university is the utility budget and actual expenditures, a comparison. We are significantly under the internal budget that we had thought of for 2016. The actual costs are $93 million for utilities for the university for 2016 versus $111 million. Part of this is due to basically the good work of Prairie Land and what they're doing. Trustee Hazara is basically the chair of that board with some of the forward purchases of the gas and some of the sophistication we're putting into basically purchasing energy, you know, for the university. But the Mother Nature gets a good nod, you know, on this one too. As you remember, the winners, you know, last year's winner versus this year's winner, it was much harsher last year. So Mother Nature helped us out too on the utility costs for 2016. If we looked at sponsored research, this is the revenue, this is the actual expense revenue, and it's just federal research. We basically were very close, in total $691 million, very close to expectations. Again, you might hear higher numbers, you know, when we talk about total federal and total aid. When we do that, we're also adding things like, or not specifically, we're adding Pell, we're adding educational grants, things like that, that basically aren't research, but we seem to be right on pretty much on board, both in total and at each of the universities with the federal research for 2016. The foundation for 2016, the support that came over from the foundation, $159 million. It's the third highest in the last 5 years. The previous 2 years, 14 and 15, they benefited from some pretty significant gifts. There were some big gifts that didn't quite see that, you know, materialize in 16. When you look at this number, this $159 million, $59 million really comes from the foundation and the university from the endowment. They basically is a 4% spending. They basically send over 4% of the moving average, 6-year moving average of the portfolio, and it's about $59 million. So the other $100 million is direct pass-through of gifts from the foundation that go to the university and support the university. My last slide is basically performance of our foundation. Of our endowment, and particularly how we manage the endowment. The total endowment looks to be a market value of $2.3 billion. That's the combination of both what we manage at the university as well as the foundation's portion. We manage about $741 million of the endowment. And when you look at the biggest piece, you look at the top left, the biggest piece of the managed endowment we manage at the university, the pool is $622 million. And if we look at the performance, and again, we manage that pool in accordance with the stated board policies as far as asset allocation, you know, for purposes of managing that pool, we basically saw flat performance for 2016. I think that this is basically, you look around at all our peers, you're going to probably find the same type of result from our peers for 2016, for that year end of 2016. Non-U.S. equities did not do well during 2016. They were down significantly. And we also were hit right at June 25th, Brexit. You know, so right at the valuation point for purposes of our year-end valuation of our we basically got hit with Brexit and basically great turmoil in the world markets with Brexit. Most of the Brexit losses that we had to realize at year-end, we recovered by mid-July. But it just happened that happened at the end of June. So I guess that would be what I would call my semi-prepared remarks, this morning. And if there's no questions, I just have one more point of personal privilege that normally end on.
Go ahead. We're looking forward to this statement, I'm sure.
I mean, some of you are aware that once a year, in connection with the foundation's annual meeting, I make a well-researched and data-driven and dare I say uncanny football prediction in connection with that football game that comes that Saturday. This coming up in the first week in October, we're going to be playing Purdue, and I'm going to have access to the supercomputer to work through that. But this coming Saturday night, as you well know, I mean, we were going to be playing the Tar Heels from North Carolina. And last night, Chairman McMillan asked me if I had a prediction. And to my chagrin and a feeling of great disappointment and regret, I admitted I didn't have a prediction. So out of guilt, I went home last night and worked until the wee hours researching, the North Carolina football team's record, both their record current and past. I analyzed their current roster and compared it to the Illini's current roster. I looked at their record versus other Big Ten teams, including the record for away games. I ignored last year's score. I considered all the weather conditions that we expect for Saturday night, and then I multiplied that all by a derived Lovey exponent. And since I didn't have, access to the Blue Waters computer that I use for the foundation prediction, I ran several iterations of this model, through my trusty Commodore 64 computer. And I would say the smell of victory is in the air, or it might be just my aqua velva, though my computer did not generate a precise score, this Commodore 64 does have some limitations, but every iteration of my model came out with the Illini winning by 4 to 6 points. So I would say go Illini.
Good. Oh. Any questions for Walt other than his predictions?
I wanted to see the algorithm that he used on that Commodore 64 to calculate that score.
I'm sure he'd be glad to share that with you.
I got the floppy disk right here.
Floppy disk, yeah. I do want to just compliment you and your folks on the maintaining the bond ratings. I know that that's been a challenge. I know yesterday you were actually working with the rating agencies on that issue. So
we're in the ASAC committee.
Yes, yes.
I thought I wasn't paying close attention.
Appreciate all the work.